The J-Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the J-Talk Podcast. I'm Ben Maxwell. This week we're taking a break from the build-up to the restart of the J1 season by bringing you one of our Patreon-exclusive episodes, the Ultimate 11s Draft, featuring Cesare Pellenghi and Alan Gibson. This podcast was posted on our Patreon page at the end of April and is a valuable history lesson and walk down memory lane for supporters of the J-League, new and old. The format will be explained in the intro, and during the episode, you'll hear me reference a poll that we ran for our patrons to vote on which team they thought would win a one-off game between these two epic sides that was ultimately decided by just one vote. So after this pod is posted, I will pin a tweet at JTalkPod for you to pick a winner, a chance for the vanquished in the first poll to gain revenge. Also, throughout, you'll hear me thank our patrons for their support. This week, there's a new exclusive Patreon-only pod going up, and Stuart, John, Sam, and I have been banging our heads together to come up with new ideas for our supporters. If you'd like to get involved for as little as $1 a month, please head to patreon.com/jtalkpod. Okay, that's enough of the preliminaries. Without any further ado, I present the J-League Ultimate 11s Draft.
The J-Talk Podcast.
With the first pick.
In the all-time J-League 11s Draft. Hello, patrons. Ben here, and welcome to an extra special episode of the podcast. The idea for this began just last week with the J1 kit draft, and as a big US fantasy sports player myself, once the draft idea was planted in my mind, I began to think of different drafts we could do on the pod, and the first idea I had, and the people I had in mind to do it, was an all-time J-League 11s draft with Alan Gibson and Cesare Pellenghi. Well, Cesare and Alan are here, and they are going to draft their all-time J-League 11s, and I could hardly be more excited. Alan, welcome to the pod. I'm introducing you first, as you have the first pick in the draft, as determined by my kids in a short video on Twitter on Wednesday afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine. I presume you were picking me because I'm the most handsome or the most experienced or the intelligent one. But anyway, whatever you do, that's fine by me. Thank you. Everything's good. I'm very excited. I've only had about 4 Red Bulls, so I'm like, you know, really in for this. I must admit, I don't have any idea of what a draft is. I'm not a big American sports fan. The only draft I've ever experienced is when I'm in bed and somebody left the door open.
Okay, fair enough then. All right, well, yes, we will explain the parameters of the exercise before we officially get going. Cesare, a huge welcome to you as well. You don't have the first pick, but in this snake draft, you can't go wrong with picks 2 and 3. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. One clarification. Is this like all time like an ALL or old time OLD?
Well, a little bit
because
of both.
You pick Alan first, so I thought, is it old times? It's just...
Very good. Getting the digs in early. That's great. Well, yeah, this is going to be a history lesson for pretty much everybody listening. And as I said, I couldn't have thought of two better guys to undertake this exercise because, yeah, you guys literally have seen it all. And, yeah, thanks to you both for agreeing to do this. I don't know if there is a consensus number one J-leaguer of all time. I guess we'll find out with Cesare's reaction when Alan makes the first pick of the draft, which we'll get to very shortly. But before we begin, yes, the three of us have fleshed out some ground rules and, yes, parameters for the draft that I'll try and get through as quickly as possible so we can get to the good stuff. So the guys are drafting an 11 in the formation of their choosing, which could change throughout the draft depending on which players are available or which are off their boards. The players that they wanted to take are already gone. The other person's taken them, then they might decide to change the formation they want to employ. They are free to draft players at any position they like at any point of the draft. So is there a consensus number one goalkeeper in J-League history? There probably is. If there is, it will be fascinating to see who pulls the trigger on drafting him and in which round. They are to consider players from the history of the J-League, and that's why they're here, of course, as I've already said, because they've seen it all. The players at their J-League, not career peak. So if you choose to, you are drafting Nagoya Keisuke Honda, and you have to defend that pick, remembering, of course, that he left Grampus before he made his full Japan debut. You're not drafting 2010 World Cup Keisuke Honda. You're drafting Kashima Zico, not 1978 World Cup Zico. Okay, you get the idea. This is not a best Japanese 11 of all time. This is an ultimate J-League 11, and each team will have no more than three foreign players. But there
what?
Is...
Sorry? Three maximum.
We've been...
I got to change 8 players. Sorry.
We've been, come on, Cesare, we've been through this. But there is no limit to the number of players that can be chosen by either manager from a particular J-League club. So, yeah, Cesare will probably end up with 7 Sanfrecce Hiroshima players. The draft will be done in snake style. So once Alan makes the first pick, Cesare will have picks 2 and 3. Then it goes back to Alan for picks 4 and 5 and so on. And once this is complete, dear listeners, we want you to vote on which 11 you think would win a one-off game between these sides. And if I've left anything out, I will address it along the way. So I've checked before we started recording. The guys are okay. And I think, we're pretty much ready to go. So drum roll, please. Alan, I will hand things over to you to make the first pick in the draft. Alan, you are on the clock.
It's really interesting. I'm sure we'll get into it as we go along, because as Ben said, it is J League time, not, you know, megastar time, right? So I really had quite a few ideas, and then I realized that nope, this guy didn't get famous until he left the J League. So number one is Pixie Stojkovic.
Okay, Dragan Stojkovic is the first pick of the draft. Okay, so yeah, defend the pick, Alan, and then Cesare, I want your reaction as well.
I think he came pretty much, and apologies to Yugoslavians or after that Serbians, because I believe he really, really hit his peak when he was in the J League and really, really brought Grampus up as a team, and they built the team around him for quite a few years. So. I think he is the captain, as it were, the engine room, the driving force behind the team, and he's probably going to be the driving horse behind my team as well.
Okay, were you surprised with the Alan selection there, Cesare?
No, it's actually it's definitely one of the best players that's ever been in Japan, you know, and least we forget, he also came back and won a title as a manager with Nagoya. So just like, you know, he basically, you know, I think that what's really interesting, you know, about him as a person is like, despite being a very individualistic, you know, borderline selfish player, he really managed to fit into Japanese football first as a player, then as a manager. So I think that's a great pick. He was definitely one of the guys that, you know, like I would have selected at a certain point, but you know, Alan is older, so he's got the first, he's got the first pick. So I mean, fair enough that he's got it, and you know, I'll live with it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Pixie Stojkovic is the first pick. So Cesare, you have the next two. I guess we want to build the suspense here, but I suppose if you're picking a pair of centre backs, then you could probably list them together. Or if not, just simply then, please give us your first selection at pick number two.
Okay, my first selection, pick number two, is for me the greatest Japanese footballist, you know, player in history, and is Ono Shinji. I think just like, of course, he had like fantastic, you know, spells in Holland as well, but you know, before at Urawa Reds, and even when he came back and he was at Shimizu, I think he was really, really amazing. He's just like one of those guys who basically can see what's gonna happen on the pitch just before, you know, like before it happens. It's just like always like 1 or 2 seconds ahead. Then of course he just like had like amazing, you know, like footwork, and you know, another, I think, you know, quite relevant thing, it's a really down to earth lovely guy. And so, yeah, that'd be my beach. Also, he has the advantage that depending on how it goes, because you never know what Alan's going to, you know, pull out. You know, I can both play him as a second striker or as a playmaker. So, you know, like keeping some in there. So that'd be my first.
Okay, great. Alan, reaction to Shinji Ono going first to Cesare?
Damn, can I start again? Excellent choice. He's one of the, I won't list any names now, but there's literally 6, 7, maybe 10 of these guys who I would almost definitely have in a team. And then I sort of realized that a lot of the time they were overseas. And Shinji did really hit his peak overseas, right? But yeah, he's, as Cesare said, he's an excellent player, an all-round player. In a push, you could probably say centre-back play. Sorry. In a push, you could probably play centre-back too.
I mean, if I might just, get back to you on that. It's true. I mean, the peak of his career was clearly at Feyenoord. But it's a matter of fact that he was amazing in Jelly before and after. So, you know, I think it was better at Feyenoord because he was playing a better team. But I think, you know, I saw him playing live in his prime when Raul Reds played Manchester United. And he was by large the best player on the pitch. Scored an amazing goal, had a really good and impressive performance against a very strong Manchester United. But of course, you know, like they gave the man of the match to Cristiano Ronaldo, who was laughing when he got it. It was just like, me? What? You know, it wasn't on camera. It was like, I did nothing. You know, I scored a goal too, but, you know, I was a bit one of those, you know, embarrassing moments when, you know, men of the match get picked in Japan at times. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, also, you know, like when I lived in Sapporo, we used to be almost neighbors. So I met him quite a few times at Starbucks. And as I said, it's just like a really down-to-earth guy, you know, like it's just, he's very cool. He's one of many brothers, you know, and I think he's got 6 brothers, something like that. You know, lovely guy. And, you know, the sort of, you know, player and person you would want to have in your team anytime. His only problem throughout the career, of course, has been the injuries. Otherwise, I think I wouldn't be the only one to say he's been the best ever. You know, it would be unanimous. But anyway, be that as it may, I'll grab him. So.
Yep. Agreed. Yes, go for it. Excellent choice.
Fantastic. Okay, then, Cesare, your next pick then is selection number 3 in the draft. Go ahead.
This one, it's just I picked him because I have some sort of like, you know, like personal good memories related to this guy. Because when I saw this player for the first time, I told my friends in Italy, I saw this guy playing, you know, like it's just like here in J League in Japan. He's amazing. I don't know why. You know, somebody should scout him, should basically get him. And I just like, you know, when I brought up his name, nobody has ever heard of him. And everybody was laughing at me. But then he ended up playing in 2 Champions League finals. And he's Park Ji-sung.
Wow.
I saw him playing with, when I lived in Kyoto, you know, like, saw him play with Kyoto Sanga. In the beginning, he reminded me, like, a lot of young Alessandro Del Piero. It's, you know, his game evolved a lot. He changed under Ferguson. And, of course, you can say that him as well had his peak when he was at United and before when he was in Holland. But definitely he was just really amazing when he was at Kyoto Sanga. I mean, it's just like a superior player. I remember a couple of games when he came off the bench and he just like tore apart the opposition. It's just illegal in J-League. And yeah, as I said, you know, like it also reminds me of like a different period, you know, like a time where watching Kyoto Sanga was fun. And, you know, like I was just like, I'm very, very proud of my scouting, so to speak. So, yeah, there you go. He's just like my second choice.
Okay, that's, yeah, it's taken me by surprise. I thought he might actually get taken, but perhaps towards the end of the draft. So Cesare's jumped on Park very early. Was he?
I will take no risks. No, fair. This is just like, you know, that would have been devastated. I probably would have just said goodbye and leave if Alan would have picked him. So, you know, like, it's just.
So was Park, there's a couple was more Park in your thinking at all, Alan, there?
He came up in my original 80 or 90 players that I had to think about. But again, without playing too many mind games. He was definitely at his peak at a later time, but he's definitely a good player. And Kyoto Sanga, he was with the likes of, I think, Daisuke Matsui, for example.
Yeah.
Engels was his manager.
Right on. Yeah.
And I've just spoken to Engels a lot recently because he's back in Kyoto last year and in Kobe this year with Ainak Kobe. And I interviewed him for the last issue of J Soccer magazine, so about 6 months ago. And he was very open and very enthusiastic about whatever I asked him. And Park Ji-sung, his name came up. And another centre back who might be taken later, so I'll keep his name out of it for now.
All right then. So Alan has taken Dragan Stojkovic with the first pick. Cesare's gone back to back with Shinji Ono and Park Ji-sung. So Alan, it's back to you for two picks on the bounce at 4 and 5. Go ahead.
Where do I go? Cesare has already gone for forwards, so I presume he's going to go for centre-backs, well, forwards, attacking players, shall we say, sorry. So I guess he's going to go for defenders and centre-backs before they get taken, so I'll have to move those forward and go for Matsuda Naoki.
Okay, Naoki Matsuda goes number 4 in the draft. Okay, the late, great Naoki Matsuda. Alan, so basically, in your opinion, Matsuda is the best centre-back in J-League history, then, if you've taken him this early and obviously the first defender off the board?
You could say that. He's one of the best three or four, of which I have two more in mind. but I think he mentally can hold a team together, and physically, of course, he was never afraid to get into a fight or whatever else was needed. And I think depending who's alongside him could be the key to my defence, I think. he definitely got stuck in when it mattered always and was very reliable. So he's in.
Okay, Cesare, thoughts there?
Well, you know, I made a list of 5 centre-backs and he was in it. He wouldn't have been one of my first 2 picks, probably, because I think there's some players who, through the years, have shown more quality, I would say, more than consistency. But he was a fantastic player, and he was a fantastic person as well. And again, one thing that I have to say is he's the kind of player, very gutsy, and very rare to find in Japan. So it's just like one of the guys you would want to grab because, again, he clearly adds something, to this, to your team. He's the kind of guy that, you want to have in your locker room. You want to have to, help with the young players. It's just really, motivating as a fan to have him. So I think it's a great pick, yeah.
I think, nail on the head is that he's not a typical Japanese player. So I think that was a good choice. And alongside him will be Tulio.
Okay, pick number 5, Marcus Tulio Tanaka. Okay, so I don't know what formation you're going to play, Alan, but you've definitely got two centre-backs sorted, pretty sharpish.
I believe in playing from the back, keeping a strong back and then letting the forwards work it out amongst themselves. When I play myself also, I tend to make sure that the back line, at least the back 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever I've got, from the defenders to the volante, the defensive midfield, is the key to at least not losing a game, but hopefully winning a game when I play and also in the team that I'm picking today.
All right, terrific then. So, Cesare, if you'd like to, you can give a reaction to the Tulio selection, or if you choose not to, progress on with the pick number 6 and indeed number 7, if you like.
Well, I think, Tulio is one of the players that, I think deserve to be in the team, if only for, his long militancy. I mean, he's been in, 7 clubs probably, something like that? And everywhere he's been just like he's been good. For example, we talked before of Nagoya under Stojkovic. He was like a key player in the team. Also, he's got the advantage that he can score goals. And I know this is J-League oriented, but it's hard to forget his performance at the World Cup in 2010, where he was just really, really amazing, really world-class. And, in my just like opinion, you know, like the key part of a team is the midfield. So I think that, you know, like that's where I'm going to work from now on in this draft. But it's also true that if you don't have two good center backs, you know, like it's just you're basically hopeless. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since we lost, you know, Tulio Nakazawa, it's not a coincidence that the performance of the Japanese national team, you know, went down quite a lot. So, well, you know, my turn, right?
Sure, go for
yes,
it.
Sir.
Okay. I'm going to wrap up the midfield, and now I'm going to go with a very controversial pick, which is Andreas Iniesta. Mm. Now, okay. I know it's controversial. It's controversial because you say, you know, oh, come on, he played only 1 year. He's not in his prime anymore. But besides the fact that he's really been good in this year, it's been, you know, like he's been here. The other thing to say is, I mean, he's the best player who's ever played in J-League. I mean, if you look at the careers, it could be him or Zico if you want. But, you know, Iniesta has been playing for, you know, for a life, for a career, in the best team in the world. That, in, you know, Pep Guardiola's Barcelona was the best team that we've seen in our generation. I mean, so I think that, you know, not having him, you know, considering his, it'd be such a waste. And again, I'm thinking, you know, also, you know, the manager on the pitch, you know, the influence he has on the teammates, his experience. So, I mean, he's the first one that was. And also, you know, like, I think that as much as Park Ji-sung, he can do both, you know, both phases. You know, he could be both defending and attacking, which will allow me eventually to go with a 4-3-3, because then I'm going to seal up my midfield. But, well, first, sorry, maybe you want to say something about Iniesta before I surprise you with my Boranchi.
Iniesta, passed it, rubbish. No, he's been a revelation. Admittedly, he's only done his season and a game. But yes, he's probably, as you said, one of the best for sure players that have ever graced the J-League. Certainly one of the most skillful and certainly one of the most crowd-pleasing. So, yeah, I would be slightly unhappy that you have him. Go ahead.
I mean, if you think of the 21st century football, not J-League, I mean the world football, okay, we all agree that, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi have been one step above for several reasons, on the pitch, off the pitch. But then if you have to pick one player after them, I think it's Iniesta, honestly. I mean, it's just that defined this, like, this 20 years almost, right? So, for me, it's just sort of like, you know, I was tempted to pick him as first one, but then, you know, like, I have this sort of, you know, attachment for Shinji Ono and Park Ji-sung, so I took the risk. All right.
Good choice.
Next, I am going to seal up this kick-ass midfield with Dunga.
Okay.
So my midfield will be Park Ji-sung, Dunga, and Iniesta. I think it's a pretty good midfield.
It's pretty tasty indeed. The Brazilian legend who, of course, has spent some time with Júbilo Iwata, Cesare.
Well, he turned them into a massive team. I mean, he was, I think, at the heart and the brain of that team. And, you know, just a lot of legends. If you talk with, you know, players who were in Júbilo at the time, just so many legends of how he was just like, you know, getting mad at them, you know, yelling at them, scolding them, and then, you know, joking with them. You know, he really just, I think, brought the whole club to the next level. And it's no surprise that, you know, in the best years were the ones where he was there, basically. So it's a bit, you know, I kind of regret a little bit that the whole midfield is made by foreign players. So three out of three, because Japan has produced a lot of very good, you know, midfielders. But in the spirit of the game a little bit now, you know, most of the, you know, amazing Japanese midfielders really, you know, bloomed abroad. So I think this is three guys who, you know, have been amazing throughout their career, but, you know, they've been really, really good in J-League as well. So, yeah, I'm sort of confident that, you know, with this midfield, you know, I can, you know, like, I can also afford, you know, like three offensive players without being afraid of being, you know, unbalanced. So, yeah, there you go. Then, you know, one Korean, one Spanish, one Brazilian. it's quite good. Yeah.
Indeed, yeah. So Cesare's exhausted his allocation of foreign players, as he says there, with his with three of his first four selections. So we return to Alan for his fourth and fifth picks at number 8 and 9 in the draft.
I don't mind saying that Dunga was my first draft pick, but then I changed my mind at the last minute. Excellent choice. Brilliant player. And completely made Jubilee what they were. So points to Cesare there. So my turn. There's a lot of players. I guess we discuss it later because I don't want to give any ideas to Cesare, although I'm sure he has all the ideas already. But there's so many players that came up, and then it's like, again, I'm saying they were basically key players overseas. So now that you've taken Dunga, literally my 10th or 11th draft pick is moving up to, what are we on? I'm on my fourth pick is now then Yasuhito Endo.
Okay. Yeah, I expected you to take him with the first pick of the entire exercise, Alan, but yeah, there we go. Yasuhito Endo, the all-time J1 appearance record holder for an outfield player goes to you with the 8th selection of the draft. Your fourth pick, I mean, you hardly need to say anything about him. We obviously know your feelings on him. The first ever, one of the first ever cover stars of J-Soccer magazine. You know him well. You've interacted him with a lot over the years. But again, I wouldn't want to step on your toes, and I'm sure you want to wax lyrical about such an important player in the history of the J-League.
Well, as I just said, it's interesting that I didn't have him in my original 11 at all. But he was in the top 80, and then, of course, he made it to the top 20 and the top 15. But I figured that, as I said, from the backs, I wanted to build from the back and have a captain. So I've got my Stojkovic and I've got my two centre-backs. And then I had the ideas. I guess Endo is a particularly good player because he can play defensive midfield, attacking midfield, and he's even played up front. So there's plenty of choice. And if need to, I can play him in goal, right? But yeah, he's probably, I don't know, the ultimate J-League servant, isn't he? With, 560 games, whatever it is, and rarely a bad one. So I think I've won the game, right?
it's 631, but who's counting,
wow.
Alan? Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I think I was going for J1, but yeah, I know what you mean. He's incredible. I think he's celebrated 1,000 games, J1, J2, ACL, whatever it was. I think he celebrated 1,000 games.
He's got quite a record for the national team as well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
More than 150, right?
153 games for the national team. Yeah. So, yes, he did play his 1,000th game. Last year, I think it was, or very late the year before. So yeah, what can we say about Endo? He's in, and he'll make a difference. So what can I do next? I'm thinking out loud, right?
That's it. Go for it.
Of course, I'm not so worried about my defense yet because I've got key men in the middle. So I'm thinking whether to go for my second defensive midfielder, or sacrifice one of those to have an offensive midfielder, or pick a mega forward. You know, it's quite interesting, you know, because as I'm sure Cesare has also experienced, I got my best 11 or best 25 or so. And I'm like, okay, they're there. Then I looked at those and I thought, Cesare's going to have at least half of those too. And then, it's like, what can you do? And it's really quite interesting going through. First of all, I went through my mind, and then I went through Wikipedia or wherever it was, the best J-Leaguers ever. Then I went through every foreigner player that ever played in the J-League, and they're like, oh, yeah, him too. And then I went through, and it was incredible because I have almost 100 players to play with at the end. But the key, again, and I hope our listeners who were voting on this will bear this in mind, is J-League. J-League, because obviously Nakata Hidetoshi is a mega player, but he did very, very little in Japan, didn't he? So it's an interesting decision, but can't take him or Honda, as you discussed already. And there are so many other good players like that, in particular at right wing back, but let's think about that later. So I'm going to go for either another centre back, and go for three backs, because since I have Tulio there, depending on Cesare's picks, Tulio can also play forward, right? So it's going to be interesting, as you say before as well. It's depending on what Cesare chooses, my formation is going to change. So it's quite fun. It's interesting, and I hope the viewers are having as much fun as I am, because the viewers are the listeners. So I'm sort of saying all this because I want to choose things. I'm going for Nakamura Shinsuke.
Okay. Shinsuke Nakamura. All right. So, you've taken two absolute icons of the J-League back-to-back there in Yasuhide Endo and Shinsuke Nakamura. absolutely. As I say, what can you say about two of the biggest names in the history of the league? An absolute wand of a left foot, of course. Another player who did make a big impact abroad, of course, but there's no questioning the impact he made at Yokohama F. Marinos. And, not so much Jubilo Iwata, of course, and I'm sure, Yokohama FC, his role would have been greatly diminished again this season. But, one of the leading lights in the glory years of the J-League. And Cesare, your back-to-back picks there, Endo and Nakamura. You've obviously got your centre of your midfield sorted out, but how close were you to pulling the trigger on either Endo or Shinsuke?
Okay, on Endo, you might believe me or not, but I wouldn't have picked him because I would have, I think it would have been unfair to Alan. It's for me, it's like there's a symbiosis between the two. I mean, it's just like, it's like stealing his girlfriend, in a way. I mean, it's just like, you have to draw a line, okay? It's a game, you want to win and everything. But that would have been really, something mean. I want to stay in good terms with him. Alan's a friend, so as much that, and we already said anything it has to be said with him. It's just like, Endo is Mr. J-League, okay? Whatever, at the end of the day, he's Mr. J-League. So it's just, of course, it's an obvious pick. And Shinsuke was, one of my three possibilities for playmaker. But I don't know. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, his career is, I think is the ideal career, just as Ono Shinji. You do well in Japan, then you go abroad, you do well, and then you come back and do well again in J League and help to bring back people to the stadium. So it's just maybe it's like the fact that overall he's just like in Japan he barely won a title. He's the only player who's been twice MVP, right? But I don't associate him much with victory. Okay, let's put it this way. Okay, I probably have this image of him falling on the ground in desperation when Marinos blew it, F. Marinos blew the title they had in their hands, losing 1-0 against Kawasaki Frontale. The same day, Sam Fritcher won in Kashima. What was that, 2015, 16? Later, come on. 15. 14, 15, 16. But Sam Fritcher won so many titles in this decade. They just confuse. It could get confused. But,
I was falling asleep here. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. It's depressing, right? For supporters of the other things. But anyway, I don't know. There's always some. And then again, he was amazing at Celtic. Very good in Italy. What can I say? He's another. The girl. Yeah. I don't like the thing he's doing every year when he's shooting the ball into a moving bus. These sort of things, for me are a bit eerie. I don't know. It's just, for me, that's the sort of things that I will do after retirement eventually. But okay, it's a matter of taste. But, what can I say? He's a great player.
I'd like to thank Cesare for allowing me to take Endo, and it's the reason why I didn't take Mikic as my first draft pick. And a certain other forward who will come later, I'm sure.
All right.
Touche. And it was 2013, Cesare. It was really that long ago that Hiroshima pipped Yokohama to the title on the final day. Yes, it's on my computer screen in front of me right now. Yes. But anyway, we move on. I hope I haven't rattled you there, because you you now have back-to-back picks, Cesare, at 10 and 11, your fifth and sixth selections of the draft. Fire away.
All right. First, I will go for the only right defender that really, really think, you know, like, in it, it's of world level. And it's Hiroki Sakai. He, now you say again, he's just, he's abroad. But I think that this is one, a case of one player who did okay abroad, but was utterly dominant when he was in Japan. And the reason why I've been very impressed with him is just like, I remember his performance in the Club World Cup. And that was in 2012, maybe?
Yep.
And, okay, I was lucky enough to watch one of those games sitting next to Stojkovic, who told me, this guy is amazing. And then in the next game, without me saying anything, it was, I was watching the game together with Paolo Condò, who is one of the greatest, you know, football journalists in Italy, who's following Barcelona. After 10 minutes, I said, who's that guy? You know, like, it's very good. You know, like, wow, you know, he should come to Europe. You know, that's clearly the best. And so, you know, like, I think, you know, like, when you got, you know, Stojkovic and possibly the best Italian football journalist telling you, you know, this guy's great, you sort of develop, you know, a sort of an interest for him. So I'll say definitely Hiroki Sakai as in the back on the right. Okay. And then I will pick a Japanese striker. And for me, the guy who's been, you know, probably the best Japanese striker in the history of J-League, and is Gon Nakayama. I think he's just like, he's just one guy who was there in the beginning, when the J-League started. And, I mean, he's, of course, he came in the second year because Jubilo wasn't there in the first year, but he was already playing for Iwata. And he's got this, you know, amazing drive, I think, you know, like, and it's just like one, you know, he's just really embodies the you know, the fighting Japanese spirit. And it's so sad that very few, you know, like, pick up from him in, you know, in following years. We've seen a lot of players who are really promising, who have, you know, like, great skills. But, you know, I can't think of one who has been just as, you know, as dominant, as aggressive, as push, as, you know, as, you know, as forward going as gone. So I think that, you know, like, also to just like, you know, to celebrate a little bit the you know, the early age of the J-League, he would be my other pick. I don't think there's a better Japanese striker than him. I mean, I might be wrong, but probably not. No, actually, I'm not wrong.
Yeah, wow. Masashi Nakayama, a terrific selection to potentially lead your line, Cesare, again, depending on which formation you go with. But yeah, a total of 207 league goals, Wikipedia is telling me, including a remarkable 36 in 27 appearances in 1998. Didn't he score hat-tricks in three consecutive games or something like that?
Yeah, he did. He scored 5 goals in the first game. I think he scored 4 goals in the next, 4 goals in the next, and then 3 and 3. Yeah, wow. 5 hat-tricks.
There was this period where he was just like, it's ridiculous. You know, it's like when you, you know, when you just like playing at the park, you know, like, and then this guy come out from nowhere and he's clearly just like of another category, you know, and every time he touches the ball, he scores, you know. It was a bit like that. It was just like something superhuman. And that's anybody who's seen that, you know, like, will just have it in his eyes basically forever. It's not that before and after he was a poor player. Also, I think with the national team, he did very well as well. I mean, I know this is J-League, you know, as about J-League, but, you know, like, overall, you know, I mean, you know, what a guy, you know, like, you know, on the pitch. And, you know, also, another nice guy, another tough guy, you know, another, you know, guy that helps the locker room to be better. So, I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, when you need a goal, You can trust him, you know, that, you know, he'll probably score it, or at least, you know, do anything possible to score it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Phenomenal record. And, fantastic player for so many years for Jubilo Iwata. And I don't know, is he actually still on the books of Azul Claro Numazu, a bit of a publicity stunt by them to sign him to a contract year on year. He's technically been on their books since 2015. I'm not sure if they've renewed him for 2020 or not. He's obviously he's getting on for 53 years old. But a legend of the J League, no question. And Cesare, an excellent selection. So Alan, back to you for.
Excuse me, I was just a little, funny story about this. I was, it's already probably 4 or 5 years ago, but I was, maybe 4 years ago, I was talking with Toto Schillaci when he came to Tokyo for some of his business that he has in Japan, and I told him that that Gon was going back, to play in J League. And Toto he was laughing like crazy. He's like, I cannot believe it. This guy's crazy, Then I should go back as well, Maybe we should play together, Schillaci and Nakayama, what a pair, I would really, really, he was a lot of fun to watch him play. He's a very well balanced, couple of strikers, that was the day. Sorry.
No, brilliant stuff. Great to hear an anecdote like that. Fantastic. So, Alan, you have a picks back-to-back here at 12 and 13, but I'll tell you what, after you make pick number 12, we'll just do a reset and go through each of your first six selections again, just to refresh the listeners' minds. But, go ahead and crack on with pick number 12, please.
There's a guy who played for Purple Sanga in 2000, and his name is Regis Pitbull. I just wanted to mention his name. I'm not picking him, but okay. what a great name, Regis Pitbull, playing about 10 games for Sanga in 2000.
Have you got his kit? Have you got his kit, Alan?
No, but I've been looking for it. It's amazing, Pitbull. But apparently, I think there's a current Brazilian also named Pitbull around, because I think I heard one of the Gifu boys, Richie or Stuart, talking about him late last season.
We should really make an episode about weird foreign players who came to Japan, because there's so many of them that you really wonder how could somebody get a professional contract, somebody like that, Kyoto Sanga were specialized, Usually they will bring back two Brazilian players, a good one and a really some garbage player. And it's just like probably, my theory was that the agent would say, listen, I can bring you a good player, but we got to bring this other guy as well, too, because, it's the way it works, It was always like a good one and a bad one, a good one and a bad one. It's like, this was a bit one of the, that's really a good episode or a book even. Okay.
And it's not a theory you have, Chairs. That's totally correct. And you probably knew that, but you're just saying it. But that's, I think that episode would open me up to ranting on about agents, so perhaps you have someone else on for that one. I've got two picks, have I? But only one for starting?
Yes, please, if you don't mind. Only one for a start? I'll do a reset after you make this next pick, yep.
I guess it's time to admit that my plan is to play three at the back right from the start, which is, as I said, how I like to play myself at home as well. And so I need another centre-back, and it's basically one of two. It also gives me the chance to knock out one of Cesare's choices, because he hasn't taken any centre-backs yet. So it's a double-edged sword if I take one of two. And I think I'll take Masami Ihara. Because the other choice is just totally unreliable on the field and never, ever, ever gets injured, the bastard. No, Masami Ihara, which leaves the other choice. May I mention him for you, Cesare?
actually, no. I got, believe it or not, you got my picks number 3, 4, and 5.
So I'll take Masami Ihara to round out the back. And I think with his experience and Tulio's fight and Matsuda's kill, I think I have a wonderful centre-back partnership there.
Okay, then, terrific stuff. So let's do a reset of each guy's first six selections. So it was beginning with Alan, who took Dragan Stojkovic with the first pick. As he just said, he's wrapped up his back three there with Nauki Matsuda and Tulio at picks 4 and 5 of the draft. And he's just taken Masanori Ihara at pick number 12. In between Tulio and Ihara, with the back-to-back selections of at 8 and 9, Alan took Yasuhito Endo and Shunsuke Nakamura. So he's sorted at centre-back, and he's done all right in the middle of the park as well. As has Cesare, of course. He's wrapped up his midfield three, as he's told us, with his three selection of three foreign players. Park Ji-sung at selection number 3, Andres Iniesta and Dunga back-to-back at 6 and 7. Before Park, though, he took Shinji Ono with his first selection at number 2, and then with his last two cracks at it, Cesare took Hiroki Sakai to play on the right side of his defence at pick 10, and to potentially lead the line or partner another main striker, or indeed to play as part of a front three, Masashi Nakayama, with pick number 11. So we are just over the halfway mark now with the six of our 11 players in under your belts, if you like, guys. So, Alan, it's back to you to make selection number 13, please.
My next selection will be a defensive midfielder to play alongside Endo, or to play just in front of him, depending how much I leave to Endo, but he's going to be a midfield player. It's quite amazing how, as Cesare mentioned, that we all know that the talent that is in the Japanese midfield over the decades. But I was going to mention a few names, but I shouldn't do that because Cesare has also ready to pick one yet, perhaps. So in the spirit of probably stealing one of Cesare's players, I'm taking Kengo Nakamura.
Okay, another icon of the J-League, no question. Again, similar to Endo and Shinsuke, probably a player you don't need to pimp too much, Alan, because our listeners are very, very familiar with him. But, where do you see him fitting into your 11 then? I mean, sell the pick if you like.
It's quite interesting because for me, there's a lot more skillful players in Japan, or rather Japanese players who usually go overseas. And despite sterling service and hundreds of games and very, very, I mean, MVPs and etc., he's not one that jumps out to me, which might surprise a lot of people. But in the last 4 or 5 years, of course, 2 championships, he's definitely come more into my thinking a lot. And I guess it's because he's compared to, you know, in the same generation and didn't make it the national team as much as the likes of Shunsuke and Endo and Nakata and all this. You know, we can go back to, I guess Nanami's a bit too far behind him, but there are so many other talented midfielders that he got overlooked on the national team and also even in people's minds in the J-League. But considering that this is a J-League selection and thinking what the players have done in the J-League, I think he's there for me without a doubt. And I would probably play him next to Endo as a defensive midfield, for want of a better word, as opposed to creative. But at the moment, I'm still juggling my positions there because he could also move into the central or forward midfield. I have a space left there. And I could go for another defensive midfield later. So it's again something that I never really considered or thought of when you mentioned this idea a few days ago. But as we are going through this, it's interesting that what goes through my mind and the players that I think only one player has been taken that I would have really wanted so far. But, you know, the players that are taken and the positions that I've got to fill, I think he's just sort of jumped up from my number 9, 10, 11 or 12 up into now. So Nakamura Kengo is in.
He's there at pick number 13. Okay, yeah, Alan's 7th pick off the board. So, yeah, back-to-back there, Ihara and Kengo Cesare. Brief thoughts on, the pair of those picks before you make your two at 14 and 15?
Well, Ihara is a great, centre-back. He's one of the the five greatest, you know, center backs. You know, I got this list of, you know, made, and, you know, like, it's definitely like a top player. And again, a very nice guy. He's a very, he's quite a good manager as well, I think, you know, actually. And Kengo, difficult, you know. Kengo is, you know, one of the best players I've ever seen in J-League. I mean, he's just like, he's a natural, you know, like, it's just, and also a very intelligent person. He loves football, you know. You can talk about football with him, about, you know, European football. He'd probably great, make a great manager. It's just like this big question mark, you know, like that. It's a bit like Messi, right? He never really tested himself in another club. He never really went abroad, even though he had chances to go. He always liked to stay sort of in his, you know, warm nest at Kawasaki. I'm very happy for him that in the end, you know, like, he also, you know, got some titles, because he truly deserved it. But I don't know. I wouldn't, let's put it like this, okay? Not to criticize or to influence the voters, you know, but I wouldn't have both Endo and Kengo in the same team, one or the other. I think for me, it's just like two players without, with, you know, two midfielders with zero experience in Europe. I don't know. For me, that would be, but, you know, like, it was in my list. I mean, actually, you know, if I move on, I had two choices to complete my, you know, attacking players. So one was, of course, to pick up Kengo and keep Ono and Nakayama up front. But since Kengo has been taken, now my dilemma is solved. So I'm going to pull back Ono as a playmaker, and I'm going to pick Sato Hisato.
Surprise! I'm glad I could help.
Well, you know, I honestly think that, you know, like, the number of goals he scored is just like, you know, speaks for itself, right? I mean, just like... No, I think Hisato, you know, the other thing is, I think it's a fantastic partner for Gon Nakayama. It's a very, very good couple, you know. One is just strong in the air, you know, can do pass play. And the other one is just like more quick, you know, like, it's a brilliant shot, you know. And Hisato is another thing I love about him. Like with Kengo, I have to say, but maybe even more, is a real, real football boy, you know. There's one story he told me once in one of the many interviews I did with him. I think it's a player I interviewed the most in my life, but he told me this story that when Japan qualified for the 98 World Cup, most of the kids in his class, he was in high school, I think, and most of the kids like baseball. And, you know, I was very frustrated because I say, no, football is better, football is better. So that morning, he woke up early, went to the newspaper kiosk, bought all the newspaper. He cut off all the first pages that says, you know, we're going to the World Cup. And he just, like, taped them on the wall of his classroom. Now, how cool is that story of this, like, boy who's just, like, outnumbered by baseball fans and he's got his glory day. And then he went on to actually become, you know, quite a good, you know, professional himself. Very dedicated, you know, guy. I mean, totally, you know. I mean, as you look at my team, I think you can find a thread, you know, people like Gon, people like Dunga, people like Sakai. It's just really, really, you know, there's not that much artistry or like class. It's really, you know, tough hard workers, footballers, and of course, you know, with their own skills. But I think that, in my opinion, you know, to win in the J League, that's what will really be necessary. You know, I really like, you know, a team that, on top of having some really, you know, skilled artistic, you know, players, you know, like, also has, you know, some guts, you know, really some guts, like, for example, you know, against Stokovic Nagoya, that was a quite good team for that. Or even, you know, the race of that, you know, came after them. Okay, so that's it. And I don't think I've broken Alan's heart with that. That's sort of expected, I think, you know, like...
Yeah, I think most people tuning in probably would have expected you to take Sato Cesare and Alan to take Endo. So, yeah, that's now that we've boxed that off, we can get
on with it. Sort of a gentleman's agreement. Yeah, fair enough. Silent gentleman agreement, you know, like we just said. All right. Now, I need a left back, two centre backs, and a goalkeeper. A nice, well, you know, like, it's really, you know, there's not as much choice, as it would say. But I think I'll go with a goalkeeper and I pick Narazaki. I think he's just like, through the decades, he's been the best goalkeeper we had in Japan. And, the best in Japanese history, I would say. So, yeah, there you go. He's another badass guy, if, you know. We can say badass,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
I think I said
badass. Yes, we can.
I probably said it three times already before. So, yeah, that would be my goalie. Yeah, Narazaki.
Yeah, I don't think Alan will have any arguments that Narazaki is the best J-League goalkeeper of all time. Or, well, yeah, you obviously still have to make your your selection. So perhaps, yeah, you can push back against that pick, Alan. But yeah, for me, Narazaki would have been the first off my board in terms of a goalkeeper, but feel free to react to either or both of Cesare's picks before you go on and make two of your own at 16 and 17.
Sato was definitely considered, especially during this process when Cesare chosen certain people, I chosen certain people. I actually moved Sato from my lesser list to my main list, but I figured that, you know, as you say, I couldn't really take him. I couldn't take him. I think Narazaki, I think you two guys are overrating him big time. Are you listening, listeners? He's rubbish. But seriously, I'm guessing I could say there's probably two or three keepers in the J-League right now as good as Narazaki, but they're all foreign, so Cesare couldn't take them anyway.
Yeah, we still could have picked, you know, like there's some, you know, couple of Korean guys that I think they were really, really good. And
yep.
Right. But yeah, anyway, I mean, you know, the choice of Narazaki for me is like, considering, as you rightly said it already, you know, picked my foreign players, you know, the choice is really, really limited. And yeah, so, well, he's the choice.
Indeed. Go for it. So my turn. I've got two,
right.
And I need, because of my formation, I need two wing-backs, another offensive midfield, or, a midfielder. Could be another defensive midfielder, and I could push up either Endo or Kengo up front, forward, rather. So I need a left wing-back and a right wing-back.
And you also need a goalkeeper, Alan, but you know that Cesare's taken his now, so I guess you can wait until your last selection if you so decide to.
But the way
are you just giving you advice on how to win the game? Sorry, I thought you were supposed to be neutral. Right? I think he would have figured it out by himself. You know, I mean, he's old, but not that old. Come on, anyway.
And the way J League is played these days, in fact, the world over, surely a goalkeeper is not really necessary, right? the way sometimes I play, which is you know, definitely quite not up to the level of these boys, but you know, nobody wants to go in goal in our pickup games, right? So I'm often in goal playing sweeper keeper. It's quite funny, but I can't choose myself because I've never played J League. So it's fair to say that Cesare has already taken all his foreign players, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
So I can mention a couple that I had in mind for example, the left wing back position. Georgie Wagner came to mind from Casual Racer. Jorge, or Georgie Wagner, as they called him, was an amazing wing back in that Racer team that came up from J2 and won the league. Feel free to chip in and say no or yes, as the case may be. But he's an excellent player. And of course, I think it's a bit early to mention Tiraton, but he's done okay, right? I think there are two players that I could consider at left wing back, considering that one of the ones that would immediately come to mind has spent pretty much all of his Japanese football life overseas. His name will come up when we discuss him. I'm going to go for, what's interesting is that my selection here is, Alex Santos. Alex is going left wing back.
Okay, all right.
It's one of the few foreign players who could actually speak Japanese.
And in fact, I should point out that he is Japanese for this particular game that we're playing, isn't he? Him and certain other players who became naturalized, for example, I don't think we're gonna pick him. So Wagner Lopez is also Japanese for this kind of thing, right?
Tulio.
Tulio as well. I mean, I'm full of these gaijins. Yep, Alex, Japanese Alex is my left wing back. Your thoughts, sir? It's gone quiet over there.
Yeah, very good player. Mm. I mean, very good player. What else can be said? I don't have any particular, you know, like anecdote or memory of him. And it's just like he's been around for a long time. And yeah, but the only thing, you know, the thing that I found amazing about him is that he speaks good Japanese, which is really, really rare among you know, foreign players of a certain level, because they usually have a translator that becomes their butler, basically, and lives with them, you know, forever, you know, like in the same room, but in the same apartment, or, I mean, at least that's the way it feels.
But, I think what he had to do was when he came to basically to Japanese high school or even middle school, I'm not sure if I remember correctly, but he basically came over as for example, Kazu went to Brazil by himself mm-hmm. and had to learn the language and certain other players. So Alex came here, just like Kayo, for example, mm-hmm. Kayo, who left us. Kayo came over here Alex came over here at school level and just basically learned Japanese because he had to, became Japanese, stayed pretty much forever. And as you've said, at right back, wing back too, there's very little choice of those kind of players in the J League. I've got a couple more ideas, but I'm not going to give anything away because they're both Japanese and you might select one of them. So, in fact, three of them. But literally, we're going through my left wing back. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got six in 26, 27 years of J League that I would consider in that position. So probably a slightly sad state of affairs. So there, Alex is my left wing back.
Okay, so crack on, Alan. Yeah, you've got pick number 17.
So I've got all my centre backs already. And I've got my left wing back. I'm just looking through my list, which has gone down from about 80 to about 25 now of possible players. I think it's safe to mention some more foreign players because Cesare can't pick them, and it would give us something to discuss too. I would say that Hulk or Hookie was quite high up on my list because I saw him play as a phenomenal young player at Consadole, yes, and Frontale.
At Verdi too, he was very good.
And
the problem with him, Anna, is like he hated it in Japan. I mean, he really was picking up fights, you know, like messing up with the referees. For me, it's not the kind, you know, I mean, he's as a player, I mean, his career, you know, says it all. But, you know, I don't think for a J-League team, you know, like, it sort of didn't pick up the vibe that much, right? That's the big difference between, you know, like somebody like Pixie, who as well has a lot of disagreement with, you know, with Japan, but managed to find a way to fit. And, you know, Hookie, you know, like, it's just, do you know this, you know, this, how did you go with Hulk to Hookie? There's a lot of legends, you know, like you that. One is just like they were asking him just to say his name, you know, like say, because they have to katakanize his name, you know. And he would say like probably Hook. And then, you know, the guy say, is you? And then at a certain point, he's, you know, like he said, and somebody said an English word, which we cannot say on the podcast. And the guy said, oh, fuck you. Okay. And they wrote it down. He said, well, whatever you like. That's funny. But it is, you know, when you think of Hookie, there's he could speak one Japanese word, right? Muri.
Yes.
There's this famous clip where he just, you know, called out the field and he's like, JD Muri. And this is just like, it's one of those, you know, kind of moments, you know, like that. There should be more of those, you know, like a bit more drama in the J League. I think it's many times it's mellow, but then again, you know, probably not the guy that I will just, you know, pick from my team. If I might interject, and just about foreign players, but maybe then I give you an idea. So no, sorry, I'm gonna keep it for later. Please
interject.
Can I say? You're not gonna pick him anyway, you know. But I think Ponte is like a fantastic player. You know,
yes.
Not top 11, but he's one of those guys who really made a difference for a club. You know, like, and he's another guy who had too many injuries, unfortunately. But you know,
he's on my list of players who did make teams. it's also safe to mention, for example, Guido Buchwald, because you can't choose
absolutely
him.
Absolutely.
And Hong Myung-bo.
Absolutely.
Both centre-backs, both.
Both in my list, but, you know, I had to pick only three foreign players.
And even Basile Boli, who played a very short time here, but was quite electric at times.
Yeah, and Schillaci, of course.
Toto. No, he was rubbish. So, there's plenty of choice at centre-back left, but you can't take any of them, can you? Which is interesting. But Ponte was on the list. He was very, very influential. A lot of the listeners probably need to start studying and going back, because there are so many amazing foreign players back in time. Hasek was a wonderful player
for
Chester United back in like 93, 94, 95, and of course also a manager at Vissel Kobe later. Arshindo was superstar for Kashima Antlers, although not necessarily better than Stojkovic or Zico, who may still come up yet. And of course we have Michael Laudrup, who played for Vissel Kobe and was an incredible player, but did he do enough in the J League?
No, he didn't. He was actually the other club where he couldn't perform. He was injured for a long period as well. But he was, you know, he was good at Lazio, good at Juve, good at Barcelona, good at Real. He was even good at, when he went back to Ajax. But for some reason, he, you know, it's strange. He's an incredibly intelligent boy. Michel Platini defined him as the best player ever he ever seen at practice. But he was kind of lacking something. And coming to Japan, something didn't click for him. I think that, you know, like he expected things to be different. And, you know, to be honest, it wasn't good enough for him, which is understandable coming from, you know, Real and Barca, you know, like. But then again, you know, once you're here, you know, you pretty know what to expect and, you know, you should make the best of it. It's one, you know, I would compare a little bit his career with that of Lineker in Japan, you know. It's just something like there's a little bit of snobism as well. But as a player, you know, like, he was my favorite player as a kid. You know, like, I saw him at the stadium scoring some amazing goals when he was at Juventus, when I was a child. And, you know, I was very excited when he came over to Japan. And a bit of a disappointment, was he?
Yeah, and I was there close up. In fact, I think I even refereed a game or two when he played. So I got to see him close
there
up.
There you go.
That's, I have one of his shirts.
That's when he decided, I think he had some problems. You know, like
probably when I had to calm him down. Huh? other players you mentioned, like Hulk Stoichkov, comes to mind also, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's an amazing player. And I can mention a couple of Koreans now.
Kareka.
Yes, Kareka was the next one coming up. The guys who weren't good at controlling themselves, shall we say.
but not a great player. No? He's just like pairing up with Maradona, you know, like at Napoli. So,
yeah. Excuse me. So I'm digressing because I need a right wing back, another midfielder, or two forwards. So what am I going to do?
And I think you still need a goalkeeper, Alan. Three selections left.
Again!
Well, I was going to do a reset, Cesare. So, yeah, Alan, you need a goalkeeper, a right wing back, and a presumably someone to lead your line. Cesare, you need a left back and two centre backs with your last three selections each that begin with Alan making pick number 17.
Oh, do I have to? Dear me. I'm taking a explosive right wing back. And again, as Cesare said, there are not many choices to be had, but someone who changed the face of Japanese football in 1997. Do you know who that is, Cesare?
No.
Japan national team football, scoring the golden goal in Iran, in Malaysia against Iran. My right wing back is Okano.
Yeah, but is he okay? I mean, you can, yeah, definitely. Is you can play him there. I mean, I remember him more as a. Oh, that's an offensive. I mean, okay. All right.
He was definitely an out and out winger, but.
Wing back is supposed to help defending a little bit as well, you know. But, okay, I mean, it's okay. I mean, that's the people who are vote will just, like, you know, keep that into consideration. And so, I mean, and it's just an interesting choice, yeah, absolutely. There's this famous scene where he just, like, remember one time he did that pass and nobody was there where he passed the ball, so he ran.
He ran and took his own pass.
That's one of the... we should be in charge of making a historical documentary, you know, of, you know, the first 10, 15 years of the J League. We can really bring up something fun. But, okay, sorry. Yeah, no, this is definitely... He's like the wild one. What's his name? Yasei Jin, whatever it is. He's got, like, one of these... nicknames. And then he went to...
Yajin.
And then he bought Gennaro Totteri, right? Or something like that. Became the president or something. He's still owns it?
General manager, chief executive officer or something. He's very much in charge there, yes. Very interesting.
All right.
Okay. Quite interesting choice. Masayuki Okano goes to Alan with pick number 17. So, yeah, Alan has two selections left. But before he makes his final two picks of the draft, Cesare has two on the spin at 18 and 19. So fire away, Cesare.
Okay. I need to pick a left back. I'm just going to ask your opinion, okay? You can tell me yes or no, okay? Do you hate me if I pick Nagatomo? I mean, is it bad? Honestly.
Well, I think the listeners will realize that he was rubbish in J League. No offense, of course not, sorry. He was excellent because that's why he got chosen to go to Italy. But in just like the likes of, I guess we can mention people like Kagawa, Inui, Honda, etc. They didn't really make their name as J Leaguers, but.
Hasebe. Okay, listen, you know what? Okay.
But yeah,
You already picked on the left, you know, and just see. I'm going to let Ben choose, okay? Ben, you can choose Nagatomo or Soma. I think this were my two picks for the left. Soma is just like, it was like another historical character, just, you know, like an amazing player for Antlers and for the Japanese national team. He was in the 98 World Cup team, so I don't know. Which one do you think is more? I mean, it's just like, in these games happen, right? You can get help from the audience or from the thing. So,
well,
I don't know. I mean, Nagatomo looks good, of course, you know. You got Nagatomo. But Soma tastes more like J-League, you know. So, I don't know.
May I interject too?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
My left wing back was only between Alex and Soma.
Oh, okay.
If I'd gone for four backs, there's another guy I would have chosen, which I'll mention later. And then, of course, we have another certain player who's available. But I can't, you know. But, yeah, I mean, Soma, yeah, he's a very good choice.
Yeah, look, Cesare, you know which team I support, right?
Let's go with Soma.
To sell your team. And, yeah, I mean, there might be some people who, while they know Nagatomo a lot better than they know Naoki Soma, there might be some people that think your team is light on actual J-League experience, because it's debatable whether some of your players had better parts of their career abroad than in the J-League. So if you are picking the best J-League 11 of all time,
Nagatomo,
to be completely honest. But yeah, I love Nagatomo, and I always will, because of how he came through at FC Tokyo, of course. But again, it's at the end of the day, it's your pick.
I'll pick Nagatomo in the end.
Okay, terrific.
You know, the brand value.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, again, you know, it's not like he wasn't good.
Absolutely, brilliant.
He was really, really, really good, you know, like, and...
especially that speech at the end.
Yeah. Oh yeah, when he brought up this Italian sunglasses, and nobody was laughing, you know, like, and then he took it away, and he was crying. Has there been like one player? I think probably Takefusa is the only player who didn't cry in his farewell speech, right?
He was wrapped. Everybody to be getting out of there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, and then I have to pick one of my two center backs. Well, I might as well pick both of them, you know, like, because. You know, but the first one I will pick, he was my first choice above all of them, and he's Akita.
Okay, Yutaka Akita, okay.
Yeah, it's a fantastic player, another badass. This probably should be called J-League Badass FC, something like that, this thing, you know, like, he got the likes of Akita, Dunga, Gon, you know, Hisato, Hiroki Sakai, Narazaki is another, you know, tough guy. Yeah, I think it's quite a good team. Yeah. Right.
I'm trying to hold my tongue. mm-hmm. Yep, good choice. Akita and you've got another centre-back to go right, so I won't mention
it. Yeah, but that's will be the very last one. So.
But there's a couple of other wonderful centre-backs left, I think. So is it my turn?
Yes, you can go with back-to-back picks at 20 and 21 there to round out your 11, Alan.
And what has Cesare got left? The centre-back and...
No, Cesare only has one more selection left, and that is presumably a centre-back, yes.
No, I mean, I can pick two if you want. I mean...
Yeah, you probably need 12 to beat my team.
Listen, you know, okay, you know, for me, the idea, you know, if I could play with a 4-4-3, for example, okay? I mean, we just start, then if the referee realizes there's one extra player, okay, we apologize and we pull out one player, but, you know... No harm in trying, right?
A Catholic team pulling out at the last minute.
Right. Okay.
Please go move on, Alan.
Well, I've got forwards to go for, and I've actually only got one foreign player in my team, haven't I? Which is quite incredible, considering the guys I considered at the start. But I've got a good choice. He's probably going to be a foreign player because the likes of Okazaki and Osako and... of course, Kazu is an obvious choice, but did he do enough in the J League at the start?
No.
I listed Joe Shoji and Takeda because I knew them from the start and they were great, but they weren't that great.
Did J1 full time leading scorer figure prominently in your thoughts, Alan, or not really?
I have both of the J1 leading scorers. It's okay to mention Yoshida Okubo now, right? Yeah. Of course. So Sato and Okubo were obviously up there, depending on which foreigners or which gaijins and which forwards Cesare picked or what I was left with. And Okubo is still in my brain as I talk about this. I even considered a Gamba Osaka's Lee Gunno, who was absolutely phenomenal and then had to leave for national service. Which is a thing that we've seen around the world. Even Tottenham Hotspur's Son got away with it by winning the Olympic medal, I believe, right? But Lee Gunnar was quite a star. And back to Laudrup time, Vissel Kobe, Kim Do-hun was superb up front, a real strong player who could lead the line and score goals. And, of course, we have Takahara, who was a very strong and very interesting player. But
I mentioned Takahara, his return wasn't very triumphant, right? When he came back, it was rubbish, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, so probably the overall impression is like he was good before, relatively good abroad. And then,
So I've got a forward to play with and a foreigner, in fact, two foreigners to play with. And it has to be for me between Zico, if I push him up front. He did influence and create the dynasty that is Kashima Antlers now, so I wouldn't be scared of choosing him on his J League time.
Yeah, this was the affinity you have with him because of the age, the experience.
Just youngsters, which is why I keep trying not to pick Kazu. Then we have a gentleman called Leonardo, who was a superb player. Your thoughts on him, Cesare, if you wish?
Well, Leonardo is just like, he played at AC Milan, so I've just, when I was following Serie A, I saw him several times. It's just like, it's an amazing player, an amazing guy. In fact, he managed to become like both a sporting director, a manager. He's just like one of those universal, footballers, like it's just a football person, as you say. So yeah, no, definitely, he was in my list as well.
And of course, Kamamoto. Oh no, he didn't play in the J League, did he?
I did say this would be a history lesson for the listeners, Alan. And there you go. Fair.
Yeah, Fudishige Kamamoto, Japan's top scorer, a legendary forward, powerful, strong. People look him up if you don't know him. I think it's down to two players for me. At front, it's Yoshito Okubo or a man who hasn't not been mentioned yet, Patrick Mboma. Feel free to butt in there, guys. Patrick Mboma.
I was wondering when you were going to bring him up.
Yes, same.
it's just like this is even almost as obvious as Endo.
So, it's It's true. I was thinking about who to play. Okubo, Sato, and Nakayama both are all on my list because of the J-League element. But Patrick Gembo was obviously at Gamba, so I knew him well and I saw him play. He's even stayed in my house for 1 week once when I said, don't bother with a hotel, come and stay with us. And in return, I got a very nice Giorgio Armani watch, but that was a bonus. Thank you, Patrick, if you're listening. And if you're not, well, we'll make sure you subscribe to this podcast. But Patrick was, he also scored probably along with the guy who we just mentioned, Leonardo, probably the two best goals in J-League history.
Oh, yeah.
Apart from, of course, Pixie's goal from the bench, which we all remember.
Oh, really? For which he was sent off.
Yes, he was. Red card for scoring that volley from what?
Can you believe it? He wanted to get out of the rain, so he was okay.
Yeah. wearing a pair of elegant Italian shoes, he said. You know, like it's just. Yeah. But he was capable to laugh about it. You know, that's the difference. You know, like between him and Fuch. Sorry, I hope I pronounced it right.
So that's the Brazilian guy. Sorry, yes. Patrick Mboma is my forward.
Okay, Alan goes with Patrick Mboma up front, and who could argue after getting a Giorgio Armani watch off him? But no question, an absolutely phenomenal footballer, and did some serious damage at Gamba Osaka. So Alan, you have one more pick to go to round out your 11, and unless you were really serious about threatening to play Tulio in goal, you probably want to pick it. Yeah, okay, sorry, Cesare.
Yeah, go ahead. There's still so many, you know.
What do you want to give me some advice, people?
No. Go, pick one.
Dido Havanar came to mind, but I think that's another history lesson for the people, and he didn't do enough in the J-League, right? But Mike's father used to play in the J-League, people. Did you know that? And he wasn't 194 centimetres.
Almost. So he's quite tall himself.
Yeah, obviously the considerations are Yoshikatsu Kawaguchi, for his Japanese World Cup exploits, but he was known as Dracula because he was afraid of crosses. Did he do enough in the J-League? Yeah, I think he did more in the J-League than he did when he was overseas. But I won't be choosing Kawaguchi. I won't be choosing Havana. For me, some of the best goalkeepers have been at Kashima Antlers over the years. Sogahata is one who was stuck behind Narazaki and Kawaguchi in the national team stakes, but was always a very, very safe pair of hands. And currently they also have Kwon Sun-tae, who is an excellent goalkeeper. But for me, and I'm trying to think, apart from the obvious veterans that we've chosen, like Shunsuke and the like, who are still playing but barely, I might be choosing a current J-leaguer for this position. And it comes down to two Koreans, both named Kim. One is at Cerezo Osaka, the best defense in J-League last year. And one was at Vissel Kobe and was thrown out of the team because they had too many foreigners in this new thing where Mikitani decided to spend all his money. And he's come back to Kashiwa Reysol, and I wouldn't have considered him last year for this position, but having seen him against Gamba Osaka in the Nabisco Cup. Was it Gamba or Vissel? Gamba Osaka in the Nabisco Cup. Another history lesson. In the Levan Cup this year, Gamba were absolutely destroying Reysol except in the goal position. And Kim Sung-yul was creating saves left, right and centre. And I think he definitely comes better recommended than the likes of Kawaguchi, Sogahata, Kojima and other players that have played in goal for Japan over the last 25 years or so. It is definitely one position that we've struggled in. And my goalkeeper will be current Reysol goalkeeper, Kim Seung-yu.
Well, I think in this, you have a Brazilian in the team or not?
I have, no, I don't. Amazing. Well, kind of. I have kind of two Brazilians because Alex and Tulio are technically Brazilians, aren't they?
All right. Because you can't have a J-League team without a Korean and a Brazilian. That should have been one of the rules in the beginning, I think.
You're probably right, yeah. But, I think looking at it, to be honest, I guess Jorge Wagner at left wing back, and he's probably the only, Leonardo perhaps would have been the only Brazilians I was considering. Leandro Dominguez was a man who we could bring up now, I think, has changed teams and has been an excellent
He diluted his positive image with his return, I think. I mean, at Racing, he was absolutely dominating, and then, you know, it was his last season have been forgettable. Okay, Alan, you done, right?
I think I am.
Yep, that's right. Alan's final two picks round out his three foreign selections there with Patrick Mboma up front and Kim Sing-Yu between the sticks. So, yeah, Cesare, you will complete the draft with the selection number 22 as you round out your 11.
Sorry, I have to make just one little comment on the goalkeeper. Nishikawa has been amazing for 5 or 6 seasons. I think these last 2 seasons have been quite poor. He being dropped out of the World Cup is just like leaves a very bad, you know, overall impression of him. But before, he was by large the best goalkeeper in Japan. It's a bit, you know, like he's another of those guys who sort of, you know, got lost at the Urawarets in the end, which is very unfortunate. But, you know, if we consider, you know, his best seasons, I was really, you know, between him and Narazaki, I was really, you know, in doubt. He's also, you know, like Nishikawa is probably the best Japanese goalkeeper ever who played the modern, you know, goalkeeper position. Very, very skilled with both feet. You know, he even has an assist or two, I think, actually. So, I mean, you know, like, and again, not a great guy. So, a bit of a shame, but I have one memory about goalkeepers that I don't know if Alan remembers, but one day we were at Banpaku, and it was, I think, the 20th anniversary of Gamba Osaka, and they were just like before the game, they had the fans voting the best 11 of Gamba's history. And back in the day, for most of the time, the only goalkeeper they had was Putigaya, who is not, probably is not the best overall goalkeeper in Japan. And me and Alan love to make, you know, fun about him and his misses. And but he was picked in the Gamba, you know, like historical best 11 for, I think it was 15 or 20 anniversary. I don't know, a long time ago anyway. But yeah, I remember me and Alan had really had a laugh because, you know, like, you know, it is last years at Gamba weren't, you know, exactly glorious. And to see him as the best, you know, goalkeeper of their history was like a bit of an oxymoron, you know, a bit of a contradiction in terms. But that happened. So, yeah, I was for a moment I was scared that Alan was going to bring up Fujigaya, but it's good that, you know, it took off his like Gamba glasses and came to his senses and actually picked like a really, really good goalkeeper. Okay, enough chit-chatting. My last choice as a center back, no, it's not Iwashita, is Nakazawa, of course. You know, like I think for me, it's just like he was a very, very good player through the years. And for me, with Akita, it will just form a really, really, really good pair. I mean, Akita, I think, you know, like, is still a little overall, historical, a little better than Tulio, even if he scored less goals. But I think more consistent, more stable, more reliable. I think Akita and Nakazawa would have been my number one and two choices from the beginning. And it's good we didn't have to fight over the center backs. So that's it. I think, you know, I'm done with my 11, I definitely am.
You are indeed. Okay, so, Cesare, Alan had the first pick, so I'll let you have the last word. Now, Cesare, what I want you to do is, I don't know if you've written, I hope you've written down your 11 selections as you've been making them.
Yeah.
So what I want you to do, I want you to give your 11 in formation, and then, Alan, I want you to critique it. Then Alan will do the same, list your 11 in your preferred formation, and Cesare will have the last word critiquing, I guess, how Cesare thinks his team will beat Alan's, or the relative strengths and weaknesses of your selection. So, Cesare, please give us your 11 in formation from back to front.
All right, in goal we have Narazaki. Then the defensive line from right to left, Hiroki Sakai is on the right wing. As a defender who also can help attacking, Akita and Nakazawa are the center backs. On the left, another defender who can provide wonderful crosses is Yuto Nagatomo. Then the all foreign midfield is Park Ji-sung, Dunga and Iniesta, and a rather solid midfield, which will protect three offensive players, Ono, Shinji, playing behind Sato Hisato and Gon Nakayama.
Okay, now, Cesare, I'm going to make a graphic of this, hopefully, for our patrons to look over as they make their decision on which 11 they think would win a one-off game between these two. So how exactly are you going to set up your midfield three of Park, Iniesta and Dunga?
Put Park on the right and Iniesta on the left. It's a diamond, basically, with Ono on top and Dunga as a...
Gotcha. Okay, very nice. Thank you very much. Okay, so Alan, have a crack at that. What did you make of it as a whole? Weaknesses you can see, or flaws in Cesare's arguments along the way, or however you want to attack your enemy.
He has very, very inexperienced fullbacks for me to go at, since we are considering the J League career of those boys, right?
Well, Hiroki Sakai won a J-League title.
Yeah, but he was a kid, you know. But yeah, that's...
I mean, imagine as an adult, you know what I mean? Like,
I know, amazing. Okay. And also, I think Park Ji-sung on the right. So he's going to get a bit of trouble from Shunsuke and Alex in particular. So I think we should have the left, no problem there. Our left wing on my team is going to be very dominant. On the right side, Sakai will be too busy... under attack from Stojkovic and Okanoan, of course, trying to help out as Patrick Mboma goes all over the field there. So Sakai will hardly be able to get up the field anyway because he'll be too busy. Akita and Nakazawa, just two very, very slow centre-backs up against the speed of Alex and Okano attacking them and the skill of Endo and Kengo pushing up to create for Shunsuke, Stojkovic and Mboma, not a problem at all.
Regarding the wing back will be caught into two triangles. One is Sakai Dunga Park Ji-sung. The other one is Nagatomo Dunga Iniesta. I don't think they're going to have exactly like an easy time. I agree that, you know, what you said, that the two center backs are not particularly quick, but they play just behind Dunga, you know. So even there, you know, another quite impressive triangle, you know, like, I don't know. Plus, honestly, you know, with this midfield, I don't think your team is going to pass the, you know, like, enter my half of the pitch. So I should have put one more offensive player. There's just to, like, Barcelona and play only with two defenders. But, okay. Yeah, sorry. Back to you.
That's cool. So my back three, basically, will be when we've been defended, of course, when we're defending, Alex and Okoro will be up in back and Endo and Kengo also. But when they go forward... then I have Tulio, who can run forward and help out at forward as well. And then Matsuda and Ihara move out, and Endo or Kengo drop into a back three if necessary, if Tulio doesn't get back in time, which is quite the case in his later career. But, I think it's a very fluid formation, and I look forward to taking you on.
All right, Cesare, you pick holes in that if you like.
Well, one big problem that I see is when they have a free kick, just outside the box, I think that Endo and Kengo are going to have a big fight, and this is going to just, like, basically, you know, demoralize the whole team and throw them into
Alex confusion. Alex defended himself from a set piece as well, didn't he?
Yeah, but Stojkovic was taking my free kicks anyway.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man, what a mess, you know, like, just only that is, like, you know.
You notice we didn't mention Shunsuke at all yet, guys. Shunsuke.
Yeah. Yeah, no, actually, you know, that's one thing we'll have to be very careful not to concede free kicks from just inside the box, because basically one out of three is going to go in, or one out of two maybe. So that's one thing. But, it's a good formation. I mean, I think that, you know, like, The bottom line is, like, I think that Park Ji-sung, Dunga, and Iniesta are, you know, a world-class midfield. They could be in a team that plays a Champions League final. They could be, you know, in World Cup finals. It's, like, no problem. So this, for me, is the bedrock of this team, you know, like, and I'm sorry that all the three of them are, you know, foreign players. We explained that, you know, most of the best, you know, like, Japanese players. I mean, this is just like so many others we haven't mentioned in midfield, just like we haven't mentioned Inamoto, Yukiabe, Hasebe. Mm-hmm. We haven't mentioned Hasebe, who had a great career in Germany. Ogasawara is another top class, you know, J-leaguer. So, I mean, like, there could have been a lot of, like, very good players. But, you know, when you got this you know, when you can pick this three, you know, like that, this would be, you know, sort of like forced choice for me. And in front of them, Ono Shinji, with a very good sort of couple up front, Asgore and Hisato. I don't know. I think that this team would just win the J League hand down. But I think the Alan team can probably make it to the ACL, maybe third, or like, you know, maybe win the Nabisco Cup or the Levan Cup.
We'll take the treble, actually, I think. Yeah, Emperor's Cup and the Levan Cup. But ACL, no, we're not really worried about the ACL. So Japanese, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, talking of the players, you mentioned that we didn't mention, for me, Moriyasu Hajime.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful player, and of course he's now a wonderful manager too. Yeah, and he's now the manager of the national team. As I think I said to Ben in private a few weeks ago, he's literally one of my favourite players ever. But because we did 25 years of J-League here and I chose a particular setup, he got knocked out. Of course, Nanami is another one, and Morishima. And
Morishima, yeah. But there's a lot of Ramos. There's a lot of young strikers such as Uzami, Kayo, Asano, Kubo Yuya. You know, those guys, they left early and they had their careers abroad, you know, have been so. But if they would have stayed in Japan, who knows, you know, like they could have been like the next, you know, Gon Nakayama or the next Hisato. Just like, you know, I think that overall the fact that they haven't succeeded so much abroad sort of, you know, detracts from like the amazing impression that they left when they were in J-League. But there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of good players. Of course, we can choose over 25 years. But I think that, you know, to be honest, both teams are quite solid, quite interesting. And let's see what the patrons and the other followers, you know, the other fans choose. I think it'd be my team, but
No chance. You know. Is there a player that you can think of now, Cesare, that neither of us have chosen and has not yet been mentioned either? In fact, I've just thought of two.
One three. who's playing now?
No, I mean basically overall. For example, the left wing back position, which you didn't take.
Okay, there's one. I think for me, you know, like in my experience, you know, like the winning team, they need two or three silent contributors, you know, but those guys who maybe don't get like an 8 rating, but they get 6.5 or 7 every single game. And for me, one is Nozawa from, you know, who had Antlers for about 10 years. He was like such a, like, he was always playing well. Every game. I've never seen him playing a bad game.
And in the same team almost, Toru Araiba. Araiba,
another one, yeah, right. So, you know, that these players, you know, maybe they don't, you know, they don't impress you that much in the single game. But, you know, like, if you judge them over their career, there have been quite a few of these guys who have been just like, you know, another one is like Aoyama at Sanfrecce, you know. It might not have been like, you know, he had 1 year where he was super. But overall, you know, like, you can say that for 10 years he's been like a steady contributor to this same team, a regular starter there in every game. So I think that, you know, yeah, I mean, how long have we been going on? Like an hour and a half?
Yeah, Toda. How about Kazuyuki Toda?
Toda.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, you guys just mentioned two guys from Kashima who were unlucky to miss the cut, but nobody's mentioned Koji Nakata.
Right.
Nakata was very versatile and could have been useful. He would have been on my bench, perhaps. But Araiba and Nozawa, I think, if anybody asks me who are the best ever uncapped Japanese players, those are the two for me.
Yeah, I will add Kashiwa from Sanfrecce, who was, by the way, this is just insider information.
Sorry.
He was a pupil of Massimo Ficcadenti. He's the guy who he really, really wanted to bring over to, you know, to his teams, and he could never get. But yeah, I think, you know, like, I would have liked to see him once play an international game at a higher level and see if he could have done, you know, like the same things that he's done, game in and game out in J-League. But I don't know, there's many, but yeah, probably Nozawa is just like one of those guys who you wonder why he was never given a chance. He was also playing a winning team in a famous team. So, you know, like things, you know, sometimes, of course, there are things that we might not know, you know, like about personal, you know, character, or just like, or I don't know, maybe something lacking something that, you know, like, so it's judged as like a, an, as a very positive element in a given team. Oh, we didn't mention Lucas among the foreigners. Sorry, I don't know what came up to me.
Yeah, well, Lucas, there are players like, if this is done next year or the year after, perhaps Gotoku Sakai would be ready to jump in there.
Okay. I think, you know, like, man, you got to draw a line, otherwise we're going to go on. And,
you know. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's fantastic. What we should ask, once that once Ben publicizes this is people to give us their team, of course.
Yeah, or at least tell us who, you know, if you have left out somebody, you know, who should have been in. Ben, do you want to just give us yours? Come on. Tell us some
Well, no, I mean, I can't give you a completely different team of 11 players, can I? So, yeah, I think you've both...
Is there anyone we missed, though?
So we haven't
mentioned at all yet. I've got a couple more that I just sort of came to mind as I look at my list, and Pierre Littbarski is obviously one of them. I couldn't fit any more foreigners in there.
Right.
And perhaps not so well known, but very, very early Gamba, therefore I saw him a lot, was Sergei Elenikov,
who was
a superb player.
Yeah, played for Juventus.
Yeah, exactly. Came here after that, I believe. And then...
Regular
listeners or people that know me, and especially you two, will perhaps be surprised that Miyamoto Suniyasu has not merited a mention until now.
Oh, right. Completely just like, well, it's even, you know, it's pretty much around even now, right?
Exactly. So, yeah.
As a manager, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Huh, why? I wonder.
And, of course, a couple of guys who are on TV these days. I met Kazuyuki Toda and Yuzo Morioka, good centre backs.
I was also... Oh, you haven't mentioned Bando. What's wrong with you, Alan?
Dan Chan is our substitute. I said our substitute, both teams.
All right.
And if I had to choose a player from now, my centre back was very tempted to go for Mate Jonic.
Cover star of the next issue of J Soccer magazine.
That's a good point. But yes, I mean, he's come. He's basically played his best football. I mean, obviously, I've just interviewed him, and we'll worry about plugging that another time. But I've watched him a lot. I've learnt a lot from watching him. And he's basically played here for about 4 years, and Cerezo have improved big time. They were the best defence last year. They were excellent the year before. They won two cups the year before. I mean, this guy is an excellent player. Mate Jonic, go for it.
The pick side. Speaking about Cerezo, we didn't mention Forlan.
Yeah, funny that.
And Torres! Torres! Nobody mentioned Torres.
Torres, well, I think Ben might say, I think he was going to say, what about the players that we wouldn't have put in our team, even if we were given a lot of money?
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, yeah, there obviously have been some massive names in the J-League over the years, and some of them... yeah, have earned their paycheck and come at the right times in their careers, and others haven't. And, well, yeah, that's a story for another day. But, well, yeah, Alan, I think I need to get a couple of formation things sorted out off you. So we might wait until we're off mic to do that, just exactly how you want your team set up. But, yes, patrons, once you've listened to this, shortly afterwards, I hope to have a graphic-based post up for you to peruse both of these teams, and then a poll for you to choose which of these 11s you think would win in a one-off game. But thank you both, Cesare and Alan, so much for diving headfirst into this. You probably didn't know really what I was talking about when I first approached the topic with you, as, yes, coming from Italy and the UK respectively, you don't have any experience of US fantasy sports and, the idea of drafting teams. But, this has been fascinating for me, and I'm sure it has been for all of our patrons as well. All that's left for me to do is thank you very much for your time, and may the best team win. So, Cesare, thanks, as I said, ever so much. It's been an absolutely terrific hour and a half. The time has flown. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks very much.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. Thanks, Alan. Okay, and thanks, Ben.
Yeah, thanks, Cesare. It was an absolute pleasure to for the last almost couple of hours, to be honest, and also for the last 4 or 5 days where I've been thinking about my best team. So it's been quite fun to bring back some memories and great stuff.
Let's do it again in 25 years, okay?
Yes, you're on.
Indeed, what a terrific idea. All right, better say goodbye to you as well. Thank you ever so much, Alan. You're terrific. Terrific time had by all, I believe. And, thanks for your time on this episode of the pod. Absolutely fantastic.
Thank you very much, Ben. The pleasure was all yours.
And there you have it. Two fantastic teams containing some of the most iconic players in J-League history. For access to Patreon-exclusive podcasts and posts, please consider signing up from as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/jtalkpod. Thanks again to Alan and Cesare, and of course to you for listening wherever you are. Next week, normal service will resume as Sam and I get ready for the big restart. Speak to you next week. Bye for now.
The J-Talk Podcast.
With the first pick.